Would you welcome JR here this morning?
Man, I love our tribe. I've had the opportunity to go some vineyards all over the country and down in South America. And if there's one thing we know how to do, we know how to worship. And that was just, it was just beautiful to be with you guys in worship. So I came into a vineyard church for the first time about 8 years ago, and nobody led me to the Lord. I continually just kept coming back and coming back. And I'll confidently say that it was the witness of a worshiping church that led me to the Lord. I would walk in and sit, worship would start, and I would just start to weep and weep as I watched people just worship their Savior. And it's a beautiful atmosphere here today. So I've one thing I want to talk to you guys today about. I'm going to do it in two sessions. I want to just cast a vision for you guys of what it is to say yes. I'm going to start by talking through my experience of saying yes, often saying no a handful of times before I said yes, and then just paint a picture of what it looks like to say yes to the kingdom of God. But if you guys would, let's pray real quick. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. God, I'm so thankful for the sweetness of your Spirit during worship. You are so good. God, I pray that you would descend on each one of us, corporately and individually. God, meet us exactly where we are. That you begin to breathe on the flame of dreams, of passion. Things that might be buried deep inside each one of us, God, would you breathe? We love you, Lord. Have your way today. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me give you a little bit about myself. So I was a police officer for 10 years. The first handful of those years, I was not a man of faith. And so as a man coming to faith, I actually had, from the exterior, I actually had a pretty good life. I was a police officer. I grew up, I would say, upper, lower class. And so we didn't have very many means growing up. But by this time in my life, I was pretty comfortable. I was living, hello? Okay. I was living a pretty good life. I was grew up relatively low income. I was making $70,000, $80,000 a year, which was a lot of money for me. I had an amazing job as a police officer. A 25-year-old kid in car chases, carrying a gun, running people down, getting in wrestling matches. Arresting drug dealers, doing interviews and interrogations. Man, I loved being a police officer. As a 25-year-old kid, man, there was like nothing better. I still can't believe they actually trusted me to do that. And not to mention, and again, I was not a man of faith, but ladies loved the uniform. They did. And so I was living a really good life on the exterior. But interior, on the, you know, inside, where places where people couldn't see. So I grew up in the church in a really traditional Presbyterian church. By the time I was about 18 years old, I abandoned all things faith. Didn't really step back into a church again until I was about 26. And man, it left me just with a real, I would say, a hidden life. A false self that I was projecting upon myself. I was a man with very, very little hope, very little desire, very little passion of anything that was outside of my own well-being. I was really, really aware of some really significant integrity gaps in my life that I always longed to be different, but that I really struggled with on a daily basis. It really led me to a point that, and being a police officer, you're just immersed in the mess of people's lives. You go into the worst day of everyone else's life. So I was in a very hopeless place when I first came to faith. After coming to the end of myself, I actually came to faith in a Vineyard church. I know I'm biased to the Vineyard, but I love our tribe because I came to faith in it. I came to faith at Vineyard in Sunbury, and then about 8 months later, we planted Delaware City Vineyard with Rob and Julie Morgan. And so I've been part of church planting from really early on. But from the moment I came into church, into faith, man, I said yes to like everything anybody could invite me to. I said yes. I'm trying to think, within the first 3 months, I said yes to baptism, yes to discipleship, yes to small group, yes to food pantry, yes to Alpha, yes to helping people move. Anything anybody would ask me to do, I just said yes. I was so hungry for something real and something genuine. I just started saying yes. You know, I found new life as a police officer. Shortly after coming to faith, I started a Bible study with a bunch of guys from the police department. I found a new love for the people that I served, for my coworkers. I really loved the initial season of coming to faith, and it was such a beautiful time in my life. But about a year and a half in, so at that point in time, I would say I had a rock solid quiet time with the Lord. Sometimes 2-3 hours, man. I just read the scripture like it was my job. I was a single guy at the time, and so I would just read for hours on end. And so about a year and a half in, I started feeling something on the inside, inviting me into something more. Initially, that it started. It looked like I would just find myself sitting. I was never really a dreamer before. I would find myself sitting and dreaming about starting new ministries. And eventually, I started thinking about missions work, about going over, at the time, the church we were part of had a partnership in Brazil. And so I would think about going to the jungles of Brazil or to the savannas of Africa. And then I would step back for a minute and be like, whoa, where did that come from? I would think about starting new small groups in our church, new ways to reach the poor in our church. And slowly over time, I felt like the Lord was calling me into something more. My pastors at the time started identifying me for some more leadership in the church, and started to talk to me about a pastoral calling. I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but along the way, I realized that the Lord was calling me into something. Into something more, and initially, that was a really, really hard thing for me. Again, I was a young kid. I had life good. I was making good money. Had a job that I loved. I mean, I was thinking about 25 years. I could have retired at 48 years old with a 70% pension. I had dreams, and I was on the path to be undercover narcotics and on our tactical team, and I had my future at 25 years old. I could see the next 25 years, and it looked pretty awesome. But as the Lord's voice got louder and louder, I realized that He was actually calling me to lay down my job, that I planned on being a police officer for 30 years, and that He was calling me to lay all of that down. This really didn't go well for me at all. I loved my job. I loved the guys I work with, along the way, I actually stopped having my quiet time, because every single time I closed my eyes, every time I prayed, every time I opened the scripture, I would hear the voice of the Lord come, inviting me into service, and I knew that meant, I didn't know exactly what that looked like, but I knew it meant leaving my job. And so for probably 4, 5, 6 months, my personal relationship with God really, really struggled, because I just stopped having my quiet time. Because literally every time I went to pray, the Lord's voice would just be loud and loud and loud. Eventually, my pastors at the time invited me to go to a cause conference, a Vineyard cause conference. Anybody here go to a cause conference before? And if you are in your late teens or 20s and you're curious about anything, so the goal of a cause conference is giving your life to the Lord. And so They have one every 2 years. Last year, I took a group, 12 people, out to Kansas City. We took a van, had a road trip, and it was a blast. And so I would encourage you, if you're in your teens or 20s, to do that. But so I got invited to go to one of these. That's probably 7 years ago at the time, or 7 years ago now. And the moment I hit the ground, it was out in Denver. The moment I hit the ground in Denver, man, this voice that I had been suppressing was just so incredibly loud. I spent the whole weekend around 20-somethings. So many of them were just giving their lives, literally giving their lives, doing anything the Lord would want. And it just convicted me in my spirit. I did street outreach for the very first time, which I've fallen in love with. It's like my favorite thing in the world to do now. And so on the last night of this conference, I found myself in this chapel full of probably 300 or 400 20-somethings worshiping, and the pastor gives this message that is about risking, that is giving your life for anything, anywhere God would send you. Would you give your life? Would you give away all your hopes, all your dreams, all your comfort? Would you give your life for the cause of Christ? And in traditional Vineyard style, at the end of this night, they do response time. And so they give this call. If you know the Lord is calling you into something greater, if the Lord is calling you into ministry, if the Lord is calling you into missions or church planting, if you know the Lord has a specific call on your life, would you come forward? Would you come forward and let us pray for you? And I was sitting in the back of a room similar like this, and they give this call, and I just sit there. Literally, at a conference like this, I would say 80% of the crowd is going forward, and I'm sitting there in the back, stubborn, because I know exactly what the Lord's asking of me, and I just didn't want to give it up. And so I sat in the back of this auditorium, and I kind of, everybody's forward getting ministered to, people are crying, this and that, and I'm kind of just sitting there, and I find myself caught up in a conversation with God. And after a few minutes, the Lord said sternly but sweetly, said, "JR," anytime he wants to really get my attention, he uses my name. So he says, "JR, you know what it is I'm asking of you. You can say yes or you can say no. But I need your answer right now." So I kind of take a deep breath. And I'm be completely honest with you guys. I was on the verge of saying no. The Lord would have still loved me. None of that would have changed. But I was on the verge of saying no. And all of a sudden, just in the sweetness of who God is, the Holy Spirit kind of descends on me. And I'm caught up, not in like this vision like Paul or Peter, but I'm caught up in this moment with the Lord in which I was like felt fully alive for the very first time. I imagined what it would be like to go on an adventure with God. This holy fear, this risk, this excitement, this pain and suffering, but having God's presence with me the entire time. And it was the most profound feeling of the Holy Spirit I had ever experienced. And then all of a sudden, it lifted and it was gone. And I knew in my spirit that if I said no, that I would never experience that feeling ever again. And so tears started rolling down my face, and I prayed to God. God, for the rest of my life, I will go anywhere you want me to go, and I will do anything you want me to do. I just have to know it's you. And so that was about 7 years ago. He's spoken to me very clearly since then. Confirmed a calling, a pastoral calling, and he spoke very clearly that we're supposed to plant a church. I was literally willing to go anywhere across the entire world, and he sent me to Marion, like very clearly sent me to Marion. And so That was 7 years ago. It has taken a lot to get here. It's been a lot of hard work, a lot of studying, I was a train wreck. Really, really pressing into transformation, and still to this day, really pressing into spiritual formation. There's been ups, there's been downs, there's been significant cost financially, relationally. When I left the police department, I had to leave a lot of my very closest friends behind. And so there's been a really significant cost. I came on staff at DCV about 3 years ago, and I didn't really realize until then, there's a cost to leadership. Sometimes it can be really, really lonely. There's a lot of prayers that you pray that nobody hears, nobody sees. And sometimes there's a loneliness to that. There's a cost relationally. But guys, the last 7 years, the presence of God has been so close. I've had the privilege to be a part of some amazing things. Just leading people to the Lord, praying for people. I can't tell you how many, but probably baptized 2, 3, 4 dozen people. I've been a part of some really cool deliverances. I'm so glad that 7 years ago that I said yes. But I can tell you guys that I had one big yes, but it is the thousands, and it is the thousands of little yeses, day after day after day after day after day, that has got me here. I had one big yes, but it is the daily yeses. You know, at the beginning it was, JR, let's work on your sexual purity. Yes, Lord. JR, go to a small group. Begin to be vulnerable. Begin to be transparent. Begin to be authentic. Yes, Lord. Eventually it was, JR, lead this small group. Hold this person up in prayer for months, for years. Yes, Lord. It was prayer after prayer after prayer every day. Prioritize your quiet time. Yes, Lord. Press into this place of brokenness. Yes, Lord. And then eventually came the big one. JR, would you give your entire life, all of your hopes, all of your dreams, your plan? I thought I was going to be single for the rest of my life. Yes, Lord. Consider for a moment, what is God inviting you to say yes to right now? You might have been ignoring it, pushing it down like I was. You might be very aware of it. What is the Lord inviting you to right now? Consider that for a moment. You know, following Jesus, Christianity has such a rich tradition of risk, of stepping out in faith. You think about from the earliest disciples who, at the drop of a dime, at the moment of an invitation, gave up their entire lives. They gave up their family, they gave up their profession, their comfort. It's simply, come follow me. They drop it and follow the Lord. You think about the early martyrs who, at the threat of being burned at the stake, would not renounce their faith. For 2,000 years, people have given their lives that you and I can even sit here today. So many times when you hear Christianity, the worldview is the mild manner, the kind, the gentle. And that's important. That's important in pastoral care when you're really loving someone, when you're loving a neighbor. But when you look at the scriptures, it's more of the worldview from Matthew 11:12. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. and forceful men lay hold of it. As you read the gospel accounts, the book of Acts, our worldview, the worldview of the apostles, is more of a war than it is being comfortable. You read the accounts and you see pure exhaustion for the sake of the gospel. You see pain, you see suffering, you see persecution. Man, I've been rooted in the Gospels and Acts leading up to the plant. And just the other night I was reading Acts 22. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. This is as they were preaching the gospel. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and against Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to the stocks. And this is where, when I was reading this, just an overwhelming sense of conviction came upon me. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of suffering, I've often joked with Lauren, my wife, that I was a police officer before, remember this. So I've often told her, if I die before, if I get to the end of my life and I die, and I have never been thrown in prison, that I will be very disappointed in myself. And so I don't know if that's my pride speaking or what, but I think at some point in my life I will get arrested. I don't know if it'll be here or somewhere else, but you see all of the early accounts. You see, for 2,000 years, people have been giving their entire lives to follow Jesus. I love our tribe. I love the Vineyard. I know I'm biased, but. I consider myself to be so blessed to be a part of the Vineyard. I think back about the early pillars of the faith. I think about people like John Wimber who picked up the Bible, came to faith, picked up the Bible, and read the scriptures and looked and scanned, looked out upon Christendom, and said, when do we reading the Gospels, reading that, when do we get to do this? Not just read it, not just study it, not just memorize it, but when do we get to do this? That in the face of persecution, of risk, that there was inspiration. When he didn't see that out, he's like, no, but this is, when do we get to do this? And he gave his life to create a movement of people that are doing exactly that. I'm so grateful for church planters like Dave and Roxy. So many of us don't have the perspective of this, but 40 years ago, they took an incredible risk. And every single person in this room has benefited from it. Over 40, you were talking before service, over 40 years, thousands of people have come to faith. Thousands of people have met Jesus for the very first time because of a risk. It may not look like a risk right now, but I guarantee it looked like a big risk 40 years ago. I'm so grateful to be part of a movement that from the very inception has prioritized church planting, starting new communities and new cities for the sake of the gospel, taking the risks. It's easy in church world to look at your church and to think, bigger, 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 bigger. But what the Vineyard has prioritized and what they continue to prioritize, and I love their heart that even bringing me here today, their desire is multiply. Multiply, multiply, multiply. All over the city, all over the country, all over the world. So not to mention the biblical foundation for church planting, which I know most of us are familiar. Let me give you a few statistics as it comes to church planting. The latest studies show that there are currently, just in the U.S., there are 100,000 churches that are in rapid decline. There are thousands and thousands of churches that close their door every year. And it's proven that new churches reach new people, reach people with no church experience, That when churches are planted, you don't gather people from other churches. That brand new people come to faith. It's proven that churches who prioritize church planting are growing churches. Because they're always looking to raise up leaders from within and send out. And there's something about the open-handedness in which God just blesses. I love the vineyard because of its values. From the very beginning, come Holy Spirit. That everywhere we go, everything we do, we are equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it. Not under our own strength, but come Holy Spirit. That from the beginning, there's laser focus and pursuit of the lost. Just a pinpoint focus on pursuing those who don't know Jesus with the goal of bringing them into community with God and to with each other. Values of exactly what we saw already today. Vineyard knows how to worship. We can grow. We know how to worship. You see from Acts, with Paul and Silas singing hymns in the midst of persecution. You can trace that all the way down to us worshiping God here and now. We see that the vineyard has a deep, deep, deep compassion and care for the poor. That is, I tell you guys, I actually came here 2.5 years ago because of your guys' care for the poor. I came here as a young pastor, hoping that we could bring some of the things that you guys do here today to our church. It's a beautiful demonstration of what Jesus, when Jesus said in his mission statement, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovery sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And the vineyard works really, really hard at reconciliation. As we read the scriptures, as we read Revelations, and in the very last day, we see every tribe, every tongue, every nation before God worshiping with one voice. And that as a movement, we see in our theology of the kingdom that when Jesus came back, he inaugurated that future kingdom. And so what we are doing here and now should demonstrate what it will be on the final day. And so when we see every tribe, every tongue, every nation worshiping with one voice, we press into that. When much of the world steps back, that retreats to people that look like themselves, think like themselves, act like themselves, we press in. Help me understand. I don't understand, but help me understand. That I love the vineyard. And church, I firmly believe that we've only just begun as a movement. I've had the privilege in the last probably 4 months to have two conversations with longtime vineyard leaders that just challenged me to my core. They caused me to dream, that inspired me in just one sentence. So about 3 months. Three months ago, 4 months ago, I was sitting having lunch with Dave. We were just talking about our plant, and he just made this comment. It was a very simple comment, but you could tell there was something behind it. It just inspired me. He said, "At some point, something happened in the Methodist Church that within a few generations, there was a church plant." I can feel the Holy Spirit even as I'm saying this. That within a few generations, there was a church planted in almost every single city in this country. The Holy Spirit did something. And thousands of churches were planted. And millions of people came to faith. Let it be, Vineyard. Let it be. And then I think it was a month later, I was having a conversation with another Vineyard leader, a Vineyard USA leader, who said that he was tasked to give a speech to all the kind of Vineyard leaders. And as he was praying, he felt very, very clearly, almost more clearly than the Lord has ever spoke to him. And he said, I have taught you the vineyard. I have taught you to plant hundreds. Now I'm going to teach you to plant thousands. What would that look like? What would that look like for each one of us? If in a few generations, thousands of churches, millions of people come to faith, what would be the cost? What would be the cost to you individually? Deep down inside, every single one of us, as we're deposited with the Holy Spirit, there is a groaning, a longing, a desire to be a part of something much bigger than yourself. I think too often we get lost in being a really big part of a really small story. We get lost in the struggle of our day-to-day lives, being distracted. Or we try to be a part of the big story, but we give just enough. And just enough to be part of the story. What would it look like? God is writing a story of renewal, of redemption, of restoration. What would it look like for you to say yes? Daily. That every time that Holy Spirit deposited within you says, I have more from you than that. That every time conviction comes, yes, repentance. That every time the Holy Spirit prompts you, maybe it's an area of sin in your life. Every time he prompts you, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Maybe every time he prompts you, hey, you wanna just lay down your smartphone. Pick up the Bible. Or open the Bible on your smartphone. Either way. That we would get so used to listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. That every time he leads, guides, prompts, yes, Lord. And maybe at some point, when the voice gets a little louder and he prompts you, would you give me your whole life? Would you give me all of your hopes, all of your dreams, all of your plans? Would you come and die? All of those little yeses may be leading to one big one. You know, the term Christian in the Greek, for many of you have heard this, is the little Christ. Is that we would live out the desires of Christ and we would imitate him. What I know of our Savior, what I know of my Savior, he said yes. He said yes. He says, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. But not as I will, but let your will be done. Knowing exactly what he was saying yes to. He said yes. And as his followers, I can't imagine being invited. I almost said no. I think about who I was 9 years ago. I can't believe I get to do this. I can't believe that in 3 months my wife and I are going to plant a church. And I almost said no. Would you say yes? Every day for the rest of your life. Would you say yes? You guys stand with me for a minute. If you're newer with us today, we're going to do just a quick exercise that we're going to welcome. We believe God is living and active, so we're going to welcome his spirit to be here with us and minister to each one of us individually. So as you feel comfortable, if you would just close your eyes and open up your hands. Come, Holy Spirit. God, we acknowledge your power and presence in this room, but would you make us aware? Would you make us aware of your presence? God, we don't have words to communicate what it means. For you have to say yes. We don't have words. We praise you, God. I think sometimes we just aren't quiet for long enough to hear the voice of God. So I'm just going to take a minute and just let everyone be quiet and listen for the voice of God. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak, Lord. Stay in God's presence, but in Psalm 17, verse 8, David says, keep me as an apple of your eye. And what that actually refers to is that we would be so close to God that we could actually see our own reflection in his eye. Could you imagine that? And that way, as we see our own reflection, we see ourselves exactly the way God created us. Thank you, Lord.
This past week we had Putty Putman here with us, and one of the things he talked about is looking to see what God's doing and listening to the Holy Spirit. And I just sense the Holy Spirit stirring some hearts here right now.
Yeah.
There's things he's asking you to do that, as JR was saying, you just need to say yes to. It may be really, really big, it may be really small, but I just want to bless that, and I want to encourage you, say yes. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Just sense the Holy Spirit just moving here right now. We're going to take communion and have some time for worship, but I just want to stay here for a minute. We'll close with the song here. So we're just going to close with a worship song, and then we'll let you go. Just keep your hearts open.
We've come to worship you. We've come to lift our voice. We've come to give you praise. Come and fill this place. We've come to worship you. We've come to lift our voice. We've come to give you praise. Come and fill this place.
Sing, I've come.
I've come to worship you. I've come to lift my voice. I've come to give you praise. Come and fill this place. I've come to worship you. I've come to lift my voice. I've come to give you praise. Come and fill this place.
How we love you.
How we love you.
Oh, how we love you. Oh, how we love you. Oh, how we love you. How we love you. Oh, how we love you. Oh, how we love you. Oh, how we love you.
Service. Remember the word spoken today. Say yes to God. Don't ignore that voice. Say yes. Little yeses throughout the day, throughout the week. Be blessed. Have a great week. We love you. Hope to see you back here next Sunday.